Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. For those of you that haven't gotten your directories yet, we have those up front. They are $14 a piece, and so if you want it, you can go ahead and get that after worship. The backpack program is up and running, and this year Holly Grove is going to feed 50 children a weekend. And we put this bag together and this gets sent home with them. This is their food for the weekend. And this costs about $3.20, $13 for the month. And so we've made a little tree over here with 50 little people on it. And if you would like to sponsor a child for the backpack program for this school year, you can go ahead and get the little person. There's a magnet on the back, so you can put it on your fridge to remind you to pray for that child. And if you're paying monthly, to make your monthly $13 check in the offering plate. And then if you take one, there's a little card on the back. If you'll put your name on there, and if you're going to make a monthly donation or for the whole school year, which would be $117. So I'm going to take two children and put them on my fridge. That's $26 for the month. Hey, that's going out for maybe just a couple meals. So I think I can eat rice and beans so that I can help feed two kids for a month on the weekend. Next Sunday, we are going to have part two of our Instructive Eucharist. Several weeks ago, we had part one, and it ended up being longer in length than I anticipated. So part two will be next Sunday, where we'll cover the meal part of the service and the sending. I'm really excited about that. I'm also excited for an Advent opportunity coming up. So we have this Sunday and two more Sundays until Advent begins on December 1st. There are four Sundays in Advent, and we are going to have an all-church Sunday school, all four of those Sundays, looking at the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas and how some of the themes in that book help us to tell and cherish the Christmas story. So be looking for more information about that, but I'm really excited and I hope you'll join us. A celebration this week, Robert and Kelly's daughter, Rachel, had her daughter, Millie Ann, this week. So Robert and Kelly are grandparents, Calvin's an uncle, Max and Libby are great-grandparents. Millie means strength, and Anne is Robert's mother's name. And so we rejoice with them at the birth of Millie. We have a few birthdays this week. Andy Curry, Joanna Wilson, Ricky Curry, Nicholas Jolly, and Boyd Queen. Celebrating their anniversary, Elisa and Ross Summer, and remembering their baptism, Mary Davis, Lindsay Lutz, and Todd Conrad. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have honored you with our lips, but have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. The cravings at war within us cause conflicts and disputes. In our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and the suffering last. In your great mercy, forgive us our sins. Draw near to us with grace in time of need, and turn us to follow in the way of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God promises to forgive our iniquity and to remember our sin no more. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you show forth your almighty power chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace. Strengthen our trust in your promises, and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Kate?
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Good. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Cameron. Well, last week we read a story, and it was so much fun for me to read a story with you that I thought, well, maybe we could read another one. Have you ever seen this book before? You have? Do you know what it's called?
God's Dream.
It's called God's Dream. That's exactly right. I've been thinking a lot about God's Dream for the World lately. And this is written by somebody named Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He was a bishop in South Africa, and he actually won the Nobel Peace Prize, which is a very, very big award. And so, this is God's Dream. Dear child of God, what do you dream about in your loveliest of dreams? Do you dream about flying high, or rainbows reaching across the sky? Do you dream about being free to do whatever your heart desires? Or about being treated like a person, no matter how young you might be? Do you know what God dreams about? If you close your eyes and look within your heart, I'm sure, dear child, that you will find out. God dreams about people sharing. God dreams about people caring. God dreams that we reach out and hold one another's hands and play one another's games and laugh with one another's hearts. But God does not force us to be friends or to love one another. Dear child of God, it does happen that we get angry and hurt up by one another, and soon we start to feel sad and so very alone. Sometimes we cry, but God is always with us. And when we say we're sorry and forgive one another, we wipe away our tears and God's tears too. Each of us carries a piece of God's heart within us. And when we love one another, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. Can you guys make a heart with your hands? Can you make a heart with your hands? Can you do that, Brantley? When we love one another, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. God dreams that every one of us will see that we are all brothers and sisters. Yes, even you and me, even if we have different mommies and daddies, or we live in different and faraway lands. We are all sisters and brothers, even if we speak different languages or have different ways of talking to God, even if we have different eyes or different skin. Even if you are taller and I am smaller, even if your nose is little and mine is large. Dear child of God, do you know how to make God's dream come true? It's really quite easy. It is easy as sharing and loving and caring, as easy as holding and playing and laughing, as easy as knowing that we are family because we are all God's children. Will you help make God's dream come true? Will you help make God's dream come true, Brantley? Well, let me tell you a secret. God smiles like a rainbow when you do. So that is God's dream, that we would realize that we're all sisters and brothers, and that we would love each other and care about each other and share. That's God's dream. And I think we can all help it come true, don't you? Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today.
Thank you for
our church.
And thank you for each other.
Your dream, God,
is a beautiful dream.
Help us
to make your dream come true.
We love you, God.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming forward this morning. Jane is actually waiting for you. Oh, right here, for Children's Church. You can go with Jane.
The Old Testament lesson is from 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Now go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of the meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of the oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about God's dream lately and thinking about how we are called to help make God's dream come true. And I was reminded, actually in a dream, that many years ago, when I was a senior in college, I had written down some of my dreams for the world. We had a very robust chapel program, and at my college, we were required to go 3 times a week. And some folks in their senior year, every year, were invited to share with the chapel their dreams for the world. And although I wasn't asked to do that, I still wanted to put some of my dreams into words. So these are some dreams for the world from 22-year-old Anna. My dream is that people wouldn't be quick to give easy and trite answers, but that they would live in the tension of things being complex and that they would think critically. My dream is that the church would call leaders based on giftedness, not on gender. My dream is that God's love would motivate all that I do. My dream is that no human, no woman or child would have to know about or even experience rape, molestation, sexual assault, or even unwanted advances. That no one would ever have to suffer abuse of any kind. My dream is that animal cruelty would be eliminated. My dream is that wars and violence of all kinds would end, and that peace would truly reign. My dream is that no one in a nursing home would be lonely or forgotten. My dream is that all people would be respected and valued simply because they are created in the image of God, especially by Christians who know that to be true. My dream is that no one would ever go hungry again. My dream is that Christians would stop judging others for any reason. My dream is that there would be peace in the world and peace in my heart. My dream is that the church would work actively to eliminate racism and prejudice of all kinds. My dream is that people would not make choices and decisions based on greed and selfishness. My dream is that parents of children with disabilities wouldn't have to fight so hard and advocate so much for their children to have what they need. My dream is that senior adults wouldn't have to work in restaurants or at Walmart because they can't afford to live otherwise. My dream is that no child would ever feel unloved or unwanted. My dream is that God would heal my brokenness and bind up my wounds. Those are just a few of the dreams that I had when I was just a young girl. You know, I did get invited back to my college to actually speak in chapel after I graduated from seminary the first time in 2009. It was the largest crowd that I'd ever preached in front of, over 1,000 students, including former professors whose classrooms I had sat in and folks I had learned from. And they invited me back because that semester, they were going to be talking about in chapel all year long, all semester long, what does it mean to care for the alien or the migrant, the orphan and the widow in Scripture? Because this is a primary theme all throughout Scripture. What does it mean to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow? And someone had heard about my master's thesis, A Trinitarian Theology of Care, and how what we do as we care for others is deeply rooted in our baptism. And so they invited me back, and I got to preach in chapel, and I got to sit down with some professors and students. and explore with them how the very foundation of care and the people that God calls us to care for is rooted in God's character and in our baptism. I don't know if you know this, but there are over 2,000 Bible verses in which God calls God's people to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow. Over 2,000. Did any of you know that? That's right, Pastor Jennifer. Pastor Jennifer knows that's right. I'm not exaggerating. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that call us to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow. It's one of the most predominant themes all throughout Scripture. It is God's dream that God's people would care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow, those who are the most vulnerable in society, those who are economically vulnerable in society. All throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, we know them as the Old Testament, the prophets speak to people exploiting them and participating in economic oppression. God wanted God's people to care for the marginalized and the vulnerable just as God cared for them. And so here are just a few examples. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of the poor. Do not exploit the poor. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to those who deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the migrant and the oppressed. How about when Jesus began his ministry? He said very clearly that his mission was to come and to bring good news to the poor. He said a little bit later in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." He also said, "What you do for the least among you, you do for me." And conversely, what we don't do for the least of these, we don't do for Jesus. And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Not love your neighbor less than you love yourself. And so when we get to today's gospel lesson, you know, we often look at this passage as the widow being a model for sacrificial giving. And Jesus does lift her up as faithful and generous. But what's actually happening in this passage is far more complex. Jesus is critiquing the blatant hypocrisy of the religious leaders who were greedily preying upon the poor for their own personal gain while they were pretending to be religious or pious. In fact, Jesus touches on the truth that if they actually were religious or pious, they would be caring for the poor, not preying on the poor. What's happening in this passage is that Jesus is actually pointing out the widow as an example of the very commonly known laws of Israel that call God's people to treat widows sympathetically. He's also talking about the Hebrew Scriptures that consistently, over and over, express God's displeasure with those who neglect or oppress them. So therefore, anyone who knows the will of God expressed in the law, especially the religious leaders, they should know that they are to share God's deep concern for the plight of the widows and all those in need. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is calling out these hypocritical religious leaders, and he is condemning them for having such deliberate disregard for God's law and for God's people. Jesus is very clear in his ministry. He does not mince words, that he has come to turn the world upside down. The kingdom of God that Jesus brought with him and that God is continuing to bring among us is vastly different than the kingdom of this world. God created all people, and God loves all people, and God cares for all people. And in God's kingdom, God clearly, over 2,000 times in Scripture, calls God's people to care for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow, the most vulnerable in society. And when we do, we are doing the will of God. We aren't just saying, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done." We are helping God's kingdom come with our actions. We are helping God's dream to come true. Brothers and sisters, with his life and his ministry, Jesus makes it very clear that the values of the kingdom of God differ greatly from the values of this world. And we are called, whether we like it or not, whether we want to or not, we are called to live differently. We are called to live out our baptismal promises, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. We just heard Jesus say in Scripture he's going to bring good news to the poor. We are to proclaim good news, the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. In our baptism, we are called to serve all, A-L-L, serve all people, following the example of Jesus, and to strive for peace and justice in all of the earth. And part of that justice is caring for the migrant, the orphan, and the widow. And so I'd like to leave you this morning with a Franciscan blessing. Dear companions on our baptismal journey, may God bless you with discomfort. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice and freedom and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, for those who suffer rejection and hunger and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain to joy. May God bless you with the conviction that you may regret the ways you've conformed to the values of this world rather than to the values of God's kingdom, so that your world will be turned upside down, so that you would care for the migrant and the orphan and the widow just as God does, with love and compassion and generosity. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. One in the communion of saints, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. Renew your church, O God. Make us servants to one another for the sake of the gospel. Instill a heart for service and a passion for justice in our bishops, deacons, pastors, and lay leaders. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew your creation, O God. Sustain the earth and seas and all that is in them. Kindle in us a reverent awe for all creatures, great and small, and strengthen us in our pursuit of climate justice. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew the nations, O God. Hear our nation's veterans from the unseen wounds of war. Tend to their trauma and soothe burdened consciences. Guide leaders of the world to end conflicts and pursue peace and justice. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew your people, O God. Protect those in our communities who are vulnerable or ill, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Keith, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Accompany persons who are unemployed or underemployed, children who are in foster care, and those who live alone. Watch over and uphold them. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew this congregation, O God. Give us clarity in our mission and boldness in our witness. Bless our ministers that attend to basic needs of any who lack sufficient resources, that all may live with dignity. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Happy are those who help was in you. We give thanks for all your faithful ones who praised you as their God along their lifelong, especially Mallory Carrick, as we eagerly wait for you, inspired us by their lives of service. Merciful God,
we offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace, Brantley. Should we give the peace to Judy? Peace be with you, Judy. Peace be with you, Kim. Okay, you ready for the offering? A story about you real quick. So as you know, Brantley loves to watch Holly Grove on YouTube. He watches several hours a day our worship, and last Sunday he was watching one of the worship services where I must have been preaching about breaking the bread. And Brantley went to his mom and he said, "Pastor Anna broke bread like the disciples. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a disciple." So Brantley is going to help me break bread today. Is that okay? All right. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, loving and faithful God. All your works from the heights to the depths echo your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light. Darkness withdrew and creation dawned. When the times had at last ripened and the earth had grown in full abundance, your word created humankind in your image to steward all creation. You gave us breath and speech that all might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you called good. And so with the entire communion of saints, with angels and the whole creation, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, gracious and merciful God. Before our beginnings, you have always been the three in one being who was and is to come. From before time, you have been dreaming us up, imagining a world, forming us into creatures who might come to love you in return. By your breath and with your hands, you made us, and have written us into the long and unending story of your love. Will you hold the paten? Around a table with the ones you called to carry on your story, you, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, break, and give us, that we might be your body in the world. After the meal ended, you, Jesus, took the cup of wine. Again, you gave thanks and praise, and gave the cup to your disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this cup and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, pour, and give us, that we might be your life flowing for the world. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here, do you want to use my microphone? Come to the banquet.
For all now is now ready.
For all is now ready. And what do you do next?
Thank you.
for the table blessing. Okay, ready? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Our mission statement together.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to the needy world.
Share good news.